From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in pseudo-random Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Curley, and I, too, make nice games.
For this week's episode, it's another nice game jam. You've just been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode.
Complete game.
Will it work? We and you are about to find out. And so if everyone is ready, let's start.
Oh my gosh, we had dinner, we had caffeine. Nice games jam, first one of 2024.
Ellen is pumped.
I blew out the mic a little bit there.
I mean, we know you pretty well, so we're not scared. But if anybody else...
Yeah, none of us are scared, no. No, we haven't done a game jam in a while. We were talking about this during dinner because we just, you know, just had it. And I mean, obviously, we also have just been on hiatus. So like, it's just been a long time since we've designed something together, right? This is so exciting, you know? It's cool stuff.
Oh, I'm looking it up now because we were chatting. Like, when was the last one we did?
Yeah.
And like, there are three we did since the last one we could think of.
Yeah.
The last one we did was The Loft, the pigeon.
Oh,
oh my God.
And I think that's because that was video game designing.
Yeah.
That's
and
why.
So, because we have the two types of Nice Games Jams. And so one time we make something that's like rules you can play, components in front of you, and sometimes it's game design, and they're very different.
Yes.
And so when we're thinking of it, we're not always thinking of it as both those types.
That's true, yeah. I had completely forgot about that. I remember that one because I edited it.
I want to make that game. Well, we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah. Okay, should I just like jump right into the prompt?
Yeah, Dale gave it to us.
Yes.
And we've not seen it yet.
Yes. It's in spoiler tags and everything. Thank you, Dale.
Oh, I'm so excited and nervous.
Okay, jam prompt. Create a game where the main mechanics are fans and or leaf blowers.
Oh my God, Dale! She's done it again!
Oh, okay.
What
kind of fans?
It doesn't matter. This game is going to be called Eddies.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because Eddie is like a little swirl of air.
That's what happens when you.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. That's from, the name. Sure.
So that? Already a design pillar. I'm coming up. You can overrule me. Is that players are not going to have full control of the results of their actions?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because of the Eddies.
Because was of it, the Eddies. How do you spell that?
I don't know.
E-D-D.
E-D-Y-S.
I think it's just how it sounds.
E-D-Y-S.
I-E? I don't.
There's no Y.
Look it up.
I don't know. We'll figure it out later.
We should players, look it up. We should look it up and then say it wrong
control.
To drive listeners crazy.
Steven, you wrote Edie's. That's like the ice cream brand.
Oh my gosh.
But is it not that?
No, it's E-D-D-I-E-S.
That's what I thought.
That's not what Steven wrote.
No, but we're going to say it wrong Eddie's? The whole episode.
Oh.
To drive listeners crazy. Not that you can tell how we're... Hey, when you hear us say Eddie's, know that we're spelling it wrong.
Yeah.
That's right. You take that.
Yeah, get them.
Why are we being mean to listeners right now?
I lost the plot there.
You just need to direct all this energy you've got somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Just don't have enough explosions in the office. Okay, so players don't have control over, you said something specific.
Like the full, they can't, their actions produce unpredictable results.
Okay,
they
better
can control,
way.
Yeah. They can control the direction, but it's more like a cone rather than a line.
Yeah, if you've ever, you know, used a leaf blower, you... It's never as precise as you expect.
You always try to make it precise.
Right. You always feel like you can do it.
Yeah.
So the game should also heavily imply you have control.
Yeah.
I really feel like this could be like competitive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, what if we have multiple people with leaf blowers and you're all trying to like get things in like a...
We're talking about actual leaf blowers.
Or in like a video game.
Okay.
Or I like where you're headed because that's a weird challenge if you try to like abstract the chaos of a leaf blower.
For some
into
reason,
some
that's
board.
Where I went to, but maybe I'm alone in that.
Well, you know, I think we should do that because like I feel like I already have leaf blower the like the arena game in my head.
Yeah, right.
You know, like you could just get a bunch of leaf blowers, it's get just, somebody in like a gym, and unleash some wiffle balls and go to town. You know, like that would be hilarious.
But then it's just leaf blower soccer, which is you know. Fine, I guess, but like I think we can be a little.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
This would be a great thing to give unruly teenagers something to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't babysit them all, but if I put them in a basketball court and give them all leaf blowers, I could probably keep them in check for 2 or 3 hours.
I kind of want to just put two nets at the opposite end of our street,
yeah.
And then just like put like some really light Pilates balls, or Pilates balls probably too heavy, but like really light balls and things that you can blow, and then just like leave leaf blowers out, almost like, you know, and just see what happens with our neighbors.
Yeah, set up a hidden camera.
kind of.
How hypothetical are we being with this game? Because like, there's some safety concerns I have if you're running around with leaf blowers and everybody's running around. With
Wear a helmet.
I mean, I have a longstanding opinion on sport, which is no thanks.
Yeah.
So I would like to abstract this if possible.
Okay.
No, I think we should. I'm just kind of trying to get this out of my system.
I wouldn't mind spectating actual leaf blowing Olympics.
Yeah.
Or a leaf blower where you like have a light ball and you have to get it in a basketball hoop. So you have to like blow it up and like hold it like and get it in the hoop. That would also be hilarious to watch.
Listeners are really missing out on all the miming that Ellen's doing right now.
Sorry, I know. It's an audio medium.
Blower slam dunk competition.
Yes, or like horse, but with leaf blowers.
Yeah, that's silly. I love that.
We could do a whole leaf blower Olympics. Javelin, but it's a leaf blower, and you got to poof.
Okay, can you... we've gone so fast and furious with this prompt.
We have, yes.
Can you read off Dale's prompt one more time?
Yes. Create a game where the main mechanics are fans and or leaf blowers.
Okay, so we were like, don't need fans.
Yeah.
Leaf blowers.
Yep. I mean, I can let this go. I think I've got it out of my system. I think we should design a tabletop game.
Yeah.
But I would like for it to capture the same energy.
You know what would be nice is one of the things I've always wished there were more of, because they tend to be not super robust mechanically, is games that do rely on the physical, like spinning coins or flicking discs, or you know, that kind of the sort of the paper football kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
That unpredictability, I think, appeals to me. So there's still some literal physics involved in the tabletop experience. Ellen?
Ellen's got it.
You're holding your breath. Ellen, breathe. Breathe, Ellen.
That's, okay, so, no, you had me thinking, right? Because, like, we have this, we have this prototyping kit in front of us in case we need it. So many of the cardboard pieces have not been punched out.
Right.
We bring this, like, almost to every one of our game jam games, and then we often don't use it. But, like, you guys remember Hungry Hungry Hippos, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
I was a child once.
Yes. It hasn't been proven. I'm just saying, your company's called Noble Robot.
Yeah.
Anyway, you seem to gravitate towards things with robots in the name.
Yeah.
There might be something there, but...
Yeah. You forget, though, that those hippos are mechanical in nature.
That's true. The hippos are... That's right. Of course they gave you that toy.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, like, when you were talking about having a physical element, I wonder if we could have little tiny poofs of air.
I mean, scope is something that we can leave behind if we wanted to go that route. And I do love when I give you an idea. That's always very satisfying.
That's so cute. Good.
That's just all I have right now. I got the giant leaf blower Olympics out of my system for now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, you could physically build a toy that has like little tiny bellows.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be that. We don't need to put air compressors or anything.
Yeah,
in there.
Sure.
I've been speaking a lot, so I'm just going to put that out there on the table as an idea and let you guys.
I like it. That's the foundation of this project.
Yes, now, honestly,
brilliant. So
Okay, so we're not using actual leaf blowers. I'm going to remove that from the rules right now.
Well, we're using actual something that blows something.
Leave it in there as a note for the future.
Yeah, for the
next. I'm just saying, it is an Olympic Games year, and so maybe.
If the committee hasn't decided the full slate of events.
You guys come up to Duluth and we create our first video content.
Okay. How would this work? Like, you can use the little tiny leaf blowers to roll a die or something, but then, like, what's the point of that? That's kind of silly.
A spinner.
Spinner.
With little flaps on there that you could catch with the wind?
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Spinner that spins with wind. Like that, okay. These are all concepts and not games yet.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Right, so there's two avenues to this mechanic, right?
Yeah.
And the unpredictability of having a little thing that blows air is, one, it could be very sport-like. You move a thing down a field, you have like maybe one shot, and then a little, it's like turn-based air hockey or something, kind of.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to do is to use that essentially as your hands to just play a normal board game.
Yeah.
You know, which would be like moving a spinner. It's like, it's three. Okay, I guess I have to move my token or something. And any combination of that.
Uh-huh.
This feels inherently competitive.
Yes.
Purely so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I like the idea of it being like a sport, but like a yeah. silly sport.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. But
you know, I mean, like for theming, it definitely, I think a natural inclination is to like put like ESPN-ish kind of graphics for yeah. the sort of satire of it.
Yeah.
But I think the theming should be a bunch of teenagers found a bunch of leaf blowers.
And they made up.
And this is what they did in the backyard.
This is like Calvin Ball, but like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they treat it like a sport. Yeah. And you, by proxy, have to.
That's fun.
But it's. But okay. it's silly even in their world.
A bunch of teens find a bunch of leaf blowers and
yeah.
make a game out of it. Okay. Now that's great. Okay. Think like a teen. What do teens like? TikTok.
Disrespecting their parents.
Oh boy.
Loud music. Dancing.
Wearing not wearing a jacket.
Jackets. Okay, hold on. Just something there. Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Leaf blowers. Blow off the other person's jacket with very nope, that's weird.
I mean, we can frame it very much like a kind of soccer type game.
Yeah.
Because that seems natural to what people would do. It's like, let's play, you know, object in goal on field with these leap blowers. That seems like a natural thing for a bunch of 14-year-olds to decide to do.
Yes.
Whether that takes the form of a kind of soccer-ish experience or a tennis-like experience or a basketball experience. But like...
curling?
That might require too much precision for our theme. Yeah, actually. Okay. 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, all day, every day. Mm-hmm. But...
I feel directionless.
Yeah.
You feel directionless?
Yes.
So it's working then.
Okay, so...
Touché. But I guess I'm wondering if we can like lean in towards something so that my mind can
be more focused. Because when I was thinking of it being competitive...
Yes.
I was thinking, because I very always naturally want to make like team games for competitiveness, right?
Yeah.
And this lends itself to teams. But I think I want to confound that here because... And would make it interesting is if you have like a physical set, like a board set, maybe it's got a fence around it.
Okay.
And then you have a ball in the middle of some kind, and it is just literally, and there's four players, and there's four independent goals.
Oh, okay.
And everyone takes turns, and so there can be sort of above the table alliances and
agreements. I like that.
Like it's coming towards mine. If you save me, I won't go for your goal.
Yeah.
And it could be a lot of that sort of that negotiation that is not explicitly rule based, but is the kind of thing that a bunch of 14-year-olds would drive themselves crazy navigating.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like this direction.
You promised you wouldn't slap me. You said you were gonna slap him. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way forward is for us to really think about like the mechanics of this. Of these poofs of air with things on the table.
Yeah, I'm limiting my imagination. I'm like, it's just ball in net, but like, mm-hmm. we got to do better than that.
Well,
but that's all I got. I got nothing else.
I kind of like what you said about like having like these four almost, I mean, they're like pockets. Yeah. Cool. But then like, I was thinking back to Hungry Hungry Hippos, right? And the object of Hungry Hungry Hippos, as we all know, is to sate your hunger
uh-huh.
as right. a hippo. Uh-huh. And so you're smashing and you're trying to grab all the marbles in the middle. But like, our goal is to actually keep the marbles away from your pocket.
Yeah, it's kind of like reverse Hungry Hippos in a sense.
It's kind of where we're headed.
Yeah.
We can make it more interesting.
Oh, you know, actually, I mean, not to completely just be reverse Hungry Hippos, but have many different goal objects on the field
mm-hmm.
of different sizes and shapes.
Yes.
The kind of crap you'd find in the, you know, back in a field between your friends' houses or whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It has all the trappings of a sport. But none of the constraints of a sport, which is one ball, two nets. It's just got a bunch of random stuff. And then, and yeah, it's just you score as many goals as possible. Random things can happen. You could be aiming to poof at one of these things and two others get impacted by it. Yeah. And then also just purely mechanically, apart from the sort of theme connection, as the field cleans up, as more points are being scored, then it becomes slower, more deliberate, more strategic.
Yeah.
And that seems really fun. Because a lot of times, those types of action-y board games that are like Mousetrap and, you know, all that kind of stuff tend to get less interesting as you get closer to the end.
Right.
Right?
So is the game more like golf in that the more things you have in your goal, the worse you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, I mean...
Yeah.
We could, I mean, you could frame it any way you want. You could say like you have a home, you have a little like pit in the ground that you dug, and your goal is to use your leaf blower to get as much stuff in there as possible.
Sure.
Or it could be you're guarding your hole in the ground from preventing other people. Whatever.
I like the idea of you guarding it because like I think there's interesting dynamics in play with respect to that. And
so the score is in just in terms of tracking things. You don't get a point. You just because you're not tracking that. It's just at the end of the game, who has the most negative points?
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, they lose.
There's no winners. It's all everyone gets zero or less.
Right. If you get zero, you have won.
And there's something nonsensical about
that. Yes, I like that.
Which suits this like made up on the fly kind of
right
game that kids would come up with.
Gosh, I wish we could actually prototype this.
Yeah, I was really hoping that too, but Ellen had an idea too good to allow that.
Yeah,
to stop
we can
us.
Just go. We'll get some. No, I'm serious. We'll get some straws.
Okay.
Oh, we actually
we got straws here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can manage it.
Okay.
Right,
so let's take 5 minutes to get all the stuff we need.
Okay.
Go.
All right.
It's junk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, breaking into the middle of the show here, Steve and Ellen are packing up after a really exciting Nice Games Jam, which you'll hear the second half of shortly. But while they're doing that, I want to tell you, dear listener, about Glom. Glom is a game that we made here as part of this process for the Nice Game Jam. Oh, sorry. Glom! And it's a game that got published last year, and it's available now. You can get it on Amazon and any other retailer. I saw it on a Target listing the other day.
No way.
It's all over the place.
We're on Target?
And it's selling out in places, so like maybe you want to get your hands on it. And you can find those links certainly just by searching your favorite boarding and retailer, but also nicegames.club/glom, and find out more about the game, see a little video of us playing it, and pick up your own copy, because if you enjoy us making games, imagine what it would feel like to play one we made.
Glom!
Steven has returned with straws. Ellen has dug out a lot of props. Now, Ellen, at dinner, Ellen was talking about how what she really wants to do is make a game made out of actual garbage and junk.
Yeah.
And somehow, within an hour, we're there.
I mean, no, I actually took this straw out of the wrapper, so it doesn't qualify.
Oh, I see.
And now that I say that out loud, I will never make a game with straws. Because that's gross.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got from the prototyping kit, we have big meeples, little meeples, cubes, little gem shapes. And that suits kind of what we were talking about before about there being different types of soccer balls on the field. How many and how many types is an open question.
Mm-hmm.
It might be uninteresting if there's too many, but I don't know what the right balance is. We also have a bunch of D6s, like proper size D6s. Those could either be proper dice or they could be larger things.
They could be obstacles.
Yeah.
We could have obstacles in the field.
I think the sort of toy version of this that's like manufactured would be interesting if the field had like different textures along it.
Oh, yeah.
So like the physical objects move differently. Like some little like artificial grass and some bumpy dirt and some really smooth areas.
You could configure different fields and you could have a whole bunch of different.
Ooh, that's good. That could be a whole like first step of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a separate kind of gets us away a little bit from the theme. It's more a god game, but I don't mind it.
So all I'm doing right now is I'm pulling all these things out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to try to blow some of these things to see if I can blow them.
All right.
Okay. Good luck.
While you're doing that, I'm going to get my straw out.
Wow. Actually. No. This is so silly.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's coming. It's probably not coming off in air, but. Oh my god.
The
My competitive instinct kicked in right away.
I know.
I was Ellen's testing a thing, and then she started pulling stuff. And I was like, I can't have that.
I can't believe how fast it. I was so surprised by how fast it moved. I'm like, I've got to make a score.
Yeah.
No, you could. So this is the interesting thing is like, I bet these, so we have these giant cubes
yeah.
and you can blow them. You can move them. With
yeah,
the
yeah,
air.
Yeah. Oh.
And that could be worth like more negative points, but there are a few of them. So you could like spend all your time on the field just defending yours and trying to get one cube towards. All right. I'm going to try to blow this one a little bit more. I'm going to practice.
Well, I will suppress my competitive.
No, you can, you have to practice too.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay.
It can't just be me.
Guard
right?
the end zone.
Right. Guard the end zone.
Or whatever they say.
Yeah. Oh, it does move.
I can't.
It's compelling radio. Oh. I mean, I'm transfixed over here.
It is.
You have to do sports commentary, Mark.
Oh, right, right. Ellen's doing the thing. Steven's trying also. Am I doing it right?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a lot of condensation coming out of my straw.
Yeah, it's
yeah, there's a risk.
Yeah,
I don't think we should be using straws with their we're blowing
right right right, the, right right right
right right but yeah. we could come up with something super ridiculous
yeah
instead but
I think a little prop with a bellows on the back could do it
yeah
or maybe like a little like an air gun that you like has a band you pull yeah, back you a thing the and little, then
poof
you know
yeah you have to go poof
little
poof
thing
poof,
or
poof,
I mean poof, even poof. Simpler the sort of toys that have like a rubber barrier and you just pull back on it.
Yeah.
They have like the full giant size ones, but like they make little tiny ones of those too.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a we assume that's a solved problem. We're emulating right. it with straws.
This is just for prototyping. Yeah. So
Means that as we do try to see what a move would be, we have to instead of perpetually blowing on the straw,
yeah.
we need to do the puff as if it's a single unit of activity.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're gonna be a little bit out of sorts for testing the proper physics, but that's not a problem.
Yeah. Gosh, now I wanna like man, I wish I had actually gotten my mechanical engineering degree because I could like design something.
Yeah. Well, a lot. I mean, in the past year, a bunch of ours have been like toy designs.
Yeah, that's true. This feels like that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I like the idea that it's themed around teens because like young kids love teens.
Yeah.
They're older than them, so they just seem so cool.
Yeah. And even for old curmudgeons like me, it appeals to the idea of like a bunch of 14-year-olds being doofuses.
Yeah.
Like that is I'm into that. Mm-hmm, like, you know. I don't want one. I don't want to make a game where their teens are cool. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Not interested. Does not comport with reality.
We'll make all the air poofers look like vape pens.
Some stinging social commentary.
Okay, so any teens who are listening, don't actually feel that way about you guys. You're fine, people. But it's fun to make fun of you.
Uh huh.
Oh, and you can make fun of us because we're old. We get it.
Yeah, true, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Give.
Yeah, it's like.
Do we need an actual goal?
Yes.
Like a goal, like goal post goal.
Yeah, do we want to use some of the prototyping kit and actually construct a field?
Sure.
And I'm sorry. I'll leave this between the two of you for now just so that I. Unless you guys want me to like.
I got three straws. You got a straw.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I would rather.
I just don't know what I would add.
At the point, fair. Okay.
Other than more chaos, which in the final version is right, you know, something we're pursuing.
That's the goal.
But I do like the idea. I mean, this should be flexible for like 2 to 4 players or 2 to 5 players.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm kind of imagining like a Chinese checkers kind of vibe where it's like, I mean, maybe this doesn't need to be said, but just the idea of like, a round board with like, you know, starting positions all around kind of to support multiple players and to really set home that this is not a team sport.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know
what that would look like. You could either have like end zones, right? Like little areas, mm-hmm. or you could have a board that has little like holes for things to go into, in which case filling those holes there's a physical component, a mechanic, like you get one of the big ones in there and suddenly the little ones don't fit.
Yeah,
you know, that's a whole thing, but that's also more of a manufacturing issue.
Yeah, it's got to be clear what goes, which object went into which goal, though.
Yeah.
So we can't. I don't think we can just do like literal goalposts and there's no net behind it. It doesn't have to necessarily literally be a net.
I would think there'd be like a fence of some kind around, which would be pretty easy to put together.
Yeah, fence is fine.
Yeah,
I think once an item is in a goal. It needs to stay in that goal.
Yeah.
Which means it needs to like not be able to roll back out or whatever.
Unless there was some mechanic to allow for that. But I suppose that's a pretty easy rule to just say like, if it's in there, don't blow it out.
Tiny little pit. So if you have like a cardboard table, like a board,
yeah,
then you'd have layers of the cardboard, and your goal would be like a little pit.
Right.
So that
if it's just raised up by like even half an inch, just the ends could be sloped down so that it'd be almost impossible to blow things out.
Right, it makes it really clear. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion. It should be like a large area in front of each player, or like a small deep hole. You know.
I guess one big question I have right now is, okay, well, actually, no, first I have a comment, and that is I can't find anything in the prototyping kit that works for what we just talked about. Okay.
Oh, have people.
So we might have to go forage for junk again.
Now, a way we could proxy it is by flipping the box upside down, and then it's just things that go off the edge of it, which side they fell off of. That'd be a way to prototype.
Oh!
Yeah.
Cool.
It's not a huge box, though.
Okay.
But we can do little puffs.
We've got some Star Trek games out there that probably have really big boxes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I will run and get the big box of the thing, because that should be a very nicely sized thing.
Can I blow this? How far can I blow this meeple?
You got to do puffs.
Oh, right.
This is so unnecessary.
Trying to get the audio in for the listeners.
Oh, good. Yep, that's what they need. That's spitting in the microphone. Actually, that was cool.
This is perfect.
Oh, sweet.
This is huge. It's Mark has foraged and found more stuff, and he has brought us the top of the Star Trek Ascendancy box.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 feet by 1.5 feet.
It is huge.
Yeah. Also, I just grabbed another, like, the Ascendancy itself has many irregularly shaped objects.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed some, but we can get some other things. But I think what's in the prototype box is probably enough.
Okay. So I had another. I mentioned that I had a
big idea.
Is this synchronous play or asynchronous? Like, are we taking turns, or is everyone poofing at the same time?
I would think in the interest. Well, if it's at the same time, then it's like a 1-2-3 go. I don't think fully, like free for all, because then that's just air hockey. That's just foosball, and that kind of chaos could be unfun.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the idea of it being a turn at a time. But it could also be some things happen and then everybody lines up their things and go. You know?
Actually, I am a fan of the idea of it being turn-based.
Okay.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because it makes the game more strategic.
Yeah.
And because we're using these mini air cannon thingies, you have like 6 puffs that you can do on your turn or whatever.
Oh, I see. What you
like mean. we can be mechanical due to the
mechanism. Oh, the mm-hmm. mechanism could have a ratchet like 5-step thing, yeah. And you have that many before it runs out or whatever. Or some other controlling system.
I'm just saying, keep track puffs, of. But
yeah, something. Yeah.
You can count your puffs. Yeah.
count your puffs.
Can we put that in the rules?
Just like remember, count your puffs.
Remember, count your puffs.
Yeah.
So we got to have this in the middle, right? I mean, like we would be on the corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the purposes of prototype,
just me and Steven.
I'm not so that I don't also look silly because no one's watching, right. But because then we can kind of control some things.
Yeah.
And this box is longer than it is wide, so let's just imagine it like a football field for now.
All right.
Even though I think I really do want something more interesting and complicated than that.
Yeah, for sure.
But for now,
we're just prototyping.
Right. So what now we have now is we have this big box and we have all these meeples and small items and large items piled in the center.
This actually changes the friction because it's on a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious.
Immediate challenge. I mean, there's an immediate problem here.
Yes.
Whoever goes first is going to be able to be on the attack, and then immediately puts the second person on defensive.
That's right. Right. So it could. There's ways to control that, which would be to, like where the piles go. It could be that the person who goes first has to start with them all, a lot of things near them.
Or the player who goes first gets 3 puffs, and then every turn after that is 6.
Something like that. I wouldn't. I couldn't guess what the solution is, but it feels like there's a couple of solutions.
Okay.
Okay. I tested the friction of the box.
Yep.
They move.
Yep. Okay. is it difficult to make progress compared to just blowing on the table?
I mean, we actually have them in a giant pile.
Part of it is that they're all clumped together.
Oh, yeah, okay. So.
Interesting. I mean, now this is like billiards mechanics now. Like,
yeah.
You know, which is sort of also interesting.
Yeah. Is that bad, though? Now that I'm thinking about it. Because I feel like it being turn-based makes it, like just strictly strategic in a way that like Mark was saying is like billiards.
Well, you could have, okay, so if we're going with a sports metaphor, you actually could have a couple interesting, like you could have different periods. Like in hockey, they have, was it, hockey has three periods?
I believe so.
Sure.
So
nice
like
games at Club Touch feedback.
So what if each different period was slightly different? So like one period you go first, the second period I go first, and the third period it's simultaneous.
Oh, interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
So like, and you can't, the things don't get reset between periods.
Yeah.
You just like there's however many turns back and forth or a timer or something.
Yeah.
And then it like then it just switches. So you have to pick up the game field where it is, but like some of the dynamics change.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Regulating that might be tricky because if nothing changes on the field, then it's time for my turn to go first and have the advantage. But then the board is not conducive to that.
Mm.
Or I can't make up the advantage that the other player had.
Sure.
Or if it's,
That's a balance thing, though, right? We have number of puffs. It's a balanced tweak.
Number of puffs per turn, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can adjust things. If the first player for all the rounds has much more advantage, we can just have them do less on their first turn or something.
You know, one thing we can do is really make the sort of chaotic part in service of this. We can say that this imbalance could be core to the game.
Okay,
so,
that's true.
So there's a couple opportunities we introduce randomness to this. One is, how big is the pile? Where does it go? How is it physically placed?
Yeah.
And that could be a matter of like, we have a little like bin, we put all the stuff in there, and then like one player just grabs a handful. Like that's like the mechanic, you know?
Oh.
And, or some way by which to just randomly, and then maybe on the board there's an area there's a circle in the center.
Yeah.
And then you just are meant to drop it from a height, and anything that goes outside the circle, you remove. And then, you know what I mean? Some way to make it essentially very random as to how things begin.
Sure.
And then because there's so many objects, it will be a high scoring game.
Yeah.
And we could randomize who goes first.
Yeah.
And so like you could just end up with a lot of advantages that are not due to your skill or whatever, but so what? Yeah. Rather than us trying to design them away.
It's not that serious.
It could, yeah. Now the question is like, is that going to be so like, we'll have to test it, but like, is it going to be so much that it ends up being not interesting to play anymore? But I think rather than try to find like a bunch of little fiddly levers to pull, like, oh, you only get four, but I get three because then, because that feels a little, doesn't feel very playground to me.
Sure, that's
fine.
Okay, so Mark, how about, can I have you randomize the objects on the box?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we can just test it from that.
Yeah, so what we'll do is this all this? We got a bunch of other junk too, right?
Well, we have more that we could add.
But let's just leave it at that for now.
All right, so.
There's a lot of objects.
Now, I'm trying to get my hands around this stuff. maybe the thing just ships with a ton of this.
Yeah.
And the goal, and then maybe like if it's all cleared off the field, then you just reach in for another handful or something. Or maybe every period is a new handful.
It could be that.
Oh, sure.
That would be a balancing setup.
That's
because
true.
Then the next person who goes first on that, they would have the advantage of the big pile in the center, even if other stuff is still around.
Yeah.
So that would, without having to come with a bunch of, okay, all right, so
yeah,
that's good.
And then you could have like the dice roller essentially you're using, like where you just drop the junk from the top and like throw some on the field in a random way.
So the rule then, if tell me if this makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So we have a bunch of stuff, bunch of junk, random, mm-hmm. and maybe even between little like shipping copies. It's not always the same.
Yeah, okay, right? Yeah.
Something like that. And then the rule is whoever went first last time or something like that, literally grabs as much as they can fit in their hand. Like, that's the rule.
Okay.
And because it doesn't matter, because the different hand sizes of the different players doesn't matter because it's the same pile for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's some randomness that is just fun rather than impactful.
Right.
You grab as much as you can fit in your hand, which will then, things will fall on the floor and that will be cool. And then, there'll be a sort of a circle in the center of the board and then you just drop it on the circle from a certain height.
Okay.
And then anything that lands outside the circle just gets cleared off the field. And anything that remains is the junk for that round.
Okay.
These ones weren't part of your hand.
Right. Okay. So let's just have a little arbitrary, let's just say some of these.
Okay.
We don't have a circle on here, but we're just going to pretend. And so what's left is a manageable pile of still quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And now we compete.
Oh my gosh.
Also, there are some things on the floor. But all right. The scene is set.
Alan, I'll just say you go first. Cause
we got a coin flip.
Oh, we don't have a coin.
We'll roll a die.
Okay.
You know what would be great is if there'll be coins and die in the pile of junk.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, or maybe there's the it'd be fun if there was like a control piece of junk, and then when you drop it, that shows who goes or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. Or no, yeah, you each grab a die and whoever rolls higher.
That I rolled sense. A one. You rolled a six. Okay, so you go first.
All right.
Yep.
How many puffs I get?
Six, right?
I mean,
this is a lot of puffs.
Okay.
Maybe three?
Three? Let's
do
three.
Maybe four?
Okay, hold on. How long is a puff? One. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Why is my puff weaker?
I don't know.
I have to see a doctor about that.
I have asthma.
This is why we'll have.
If I lose, it's because of that.
This is why we'll have a mechanical solution.
Yeah. So, Steven, when you lose this game, just know that it's okay. It's just a test.
I could win.
All right.
This is a test of the strategy element, whether it's actually true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's really just the sort of like psychological game.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Oh no.
I got two more puffs.
Oh no.
Let's go.
He almost scored with one puff.
McGregor with his first puff. Oh, the second one, kind of weak.
Oh,
he's got one left to go. Can he make a goal? And he scores two pieces of junk off the edge of Burn Johnson's field.
I feel like that's probably not a great score, but whatever.
All right, that was three puffs. So now, is it my turn to puff?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get three.
All right, here we go. Mike is moving away.
That's how I should have did it.
Burn Johnson stepping up to it.
Let's go.
He's getting better.
He is.
With the first one, aiming towards the center. Oh, we got a couple off the side of the board.
Those don't count.
Disqualified. Puff number two, aiming for the large cube.
Heck!
And it's hanging off the edge of the goal.
No!
One puff to go. Can she do it? And I'm afraid no.
That's not a puff.
No, the Duluth
Back
fans
on the
are going to go home a little disappointed after
Back
this
on
one.
The play.
Yeah, disqualify for sure.
Yeah, that one, you tried a little hard on that
yeah.
last go. All right. So as we're looking, still a bunch of stuff in the center. Some stuff fell off the side. One of the big ones is just hanging off of Stevens.
This is kind
of
interesting because, like, I should probably defend my Because
it's going to
be right?
It's gonna be worth a lot of points.
Right. You don't know how many.
So now so it's some light strategy. Like, honestly, every choice is as good as every other. But, yeah, go.
I feel, okay.
Do it with what's most fun.
Well, I'm gonna
right?
get more points then.
Okay.
More not points.
All right.
If it, whatever.
All right. McGregor looking to take advantage of this failure on the other side. Right to the center of the field. Oh, and it's just a big puff in the center. A couple of eddies in there. No progress. Number two. Oh, one of the tiny meeples, worth very few points, made it very close to the edge. You got to feel bad for St. Paul.
Don't come for St. Paul like that.
Do you have one more poof?
One more to go.
Oh, and that
is a great turnaround for McGregor. Something like four or five. We don't keep count here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is good, silly fun.
All right.
Okay, this audio, I feel like this audio is going to be terrible. But who has their camera in here? We got to take pictures of this nonsense.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll get you at the most goofiest.
Not
yep.
Win.
Going for that final big one there.
Oh, we're...
And it fell off the side. That I believe that's worth 25 points.
Oh! So,
with our second puff, just a couple sliding a little bit down there. Set up for the final go. And a little disappointing there at the end.
Wah, wah.
Okay.
Different strategy.
All right. So this is fun. I mean, just in this sort of football setup, two end zones.
Yeah.
Fun on its own.
Yeah.
I think I can try. We don't have a way to make a fair three-sided thing here.
Do you have a... No, you... Don't have a
pizza
second.
Box would do it because that would also be unpredictable because wobbly and
yeah.
Go to the garbage can.
Yeah, junk. but I'm happy to just trust that with three players it will be interesting or three or more.
Sure, probably more interesting,
especially with only like three and very mechanized, measured puffs.
Yes,
this is
yes.
great. A great game for like an arcade. I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like it would because like it's something like you. It's non-committal.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things you could just try out and be like, well, I
right. If this one more like the sort of the types of things that have like a big plastic dome over it and then the mechanism was attached so you couldn't lose any of the junk.
Yeah.
And there was like a machine that dropped
it. That's a good point, yeah.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think important to this is the fact that it makes a mess.
Okay, fair. Fair.
But, you know, an arcade version wouldn't be against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't mind the fact that it's just fallen off the box. It doesn't bother me that much.
No, that's great.
But I do think if there was some prototype we could produce that had more of a, they collect in the end zone Or they fall into a little thing.
It's a little ambiguous.
Yeah, them falling out of bounds to make a mess, thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
But everything that scores, that's maybe too much of a mess.
So sure. What if we had an
Because the mess you make should not be on purpose.
Yeah. Right?
What if we have an octagonal box?
Yeah, I like that.
So four players, but then there are also dead spaces in between them.
And maybe you choose your starting position because you might want to be away from other people because it's harder, but you might want to be close to someone else because then if someone's trying to score against them, you can come in for the final hit.
And steal their stuff, yeah.
Or if it's getting close to you, you can deflect it much more easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it goes on, it goes into a zone that isn't manned by anybody, that's out of bounds.
I kind of love that idea because like it's an eight-sided box and maybe besides the box, you can put your little goal bucket.
Yeah.
If you want, right? So that you know which ones have actually fallen into your mm-hmm. scoring point. And you can even, if you want to get really fancy, have magnets on the side of the box, uh-huh. magnets on the side of the little goal bucket.
I like it.
Magnets are cool.
And ultimately, like, as a piece of toy design, actually, it literally being the box. And then the parts in it then attached to the outside.
Yeah.
That would be something that would sell well or at least look good.
Weird looking box.
Yeah, it'd have to be maybe a robust product, but like, weird shaped boxes are not impossible.
No, no.
Yeah.
So, but like, the idea that even though it's eight-sided and you can have up to four players or more, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be ridiculousness should be a clear potential.
Yes.
It should be designed for 3 to 4, but it should support 8 and we'll do no playtests.
Right.
But yeah, I like the eight-sided because like randomness is important, but we also want it to be easy to set up and use.
Right.
That's
one of the things. That's one of the strengths of this. Is it's really easy to set up. You just grab a pile of random junk, put it on the thing.
Yeah, and that's why I really like the idea of it just being random junk. Because like, so Susan and my sister and her husband and I played Project L last night.
Yeah,
and that has like 130 some little rectangular different shaped like Tetris style pieces.
Yeah,
and then they have to be together. So you spend like the first 10 minutes just like, okay, here's this box of L shapes. And they're going to go in this little basket. And then here are the long L shapes, and they're going to go in this basket. And then the pink T's are going to go over here, you know? But like, and then we'll have all those, like all that variety.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, you don't have to sort it. It all goes, yeah, it all goes back in the same,
that's
same
amazing.
Peg. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Wrinkle I want to introduce to make this more of a game and less of a toy.
Okay.
But just a little bit.
Yeah.
We have a deck of cards.
Okay.
And the deck of cards are essentially the communication between the players as they invent this game.
Oh?
Right?
Okay.
So it's a big pile, your goals or whatever, but you draw a card and it's, hey, let's decide that we all, you only counts if you get a certain color. Or you get, or suddenly this one's worth twice as much. You know, like some, like the game can evolve through drawing cards and maybe you can have a hand and you can play.
Oh, we're going real Calvin Ball with this thing.
Kind of. I don't want it to be like completely like nonsense. Changing every round, but I'm thinking of like, you've got a bunch of junk headed towards your goal,
yes.
And you're scared, you're worried.
Yeah.
But then suddenly it's such that like they're just not worth as many points anymore, and so you're not as worried about it. Mm-hmm. Or suddenly one that you weren't worried about because it's kind of dead weight up to now, suddenly we decided that's the important one, and that also means that lack of control that you have because the rules can sort of change not at any moment, but at like a couple of times per game, perhaps good big changes.
Okay.
You would have to plan for that by sort of playing all your angles. You know, rather than just forcefully going to get everything in the opponent's goal.
Could that? I think.
And thematically, I'm thinking about just kids on the field being like, no, let's do it this way instead.
Yeah.
And then kind of negotiating those rules. And we would just do that. Now, we wouldn't have the players do that. That would be the cards would be the result of that.
So when you say the cards have a specific effect, like if we're doing the 52 like card deck. For playtesting purposes, if you draw the Jack of Diamonds, that means something different than the Jack of Hearts.
And maybe it's like, just in terms of track scorekeeping, maybe it's like, until the end of this round, or until another card is drawn, the only points that matter are, or the only junk that matters are red ones.
Uh-huh.
And then all the other things score no points.
Okay. Okay.
And so that would, all of this would require more scorekeeping than we were thinking up to now.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it to give it just a hint of depth, and to get the theme going a little bit harder.
Okay, so specifically,
I'm not winning either of you over.
I'm not a fan of changing the rules in that way.
Okay.
But I'm curious what it is you're trying to solve through this.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make it more than just like
a sport.
More than just a sport, okay. But also more than just like all you're doing. So right now, yeah. If there's 2 pieces of junk on the board versus 700 pieces of junk on the board, right. The game is not any different.
Yeah, sure.
All right? It's infinitely scalable and infinitely reducible.
Yes.
And I would like the amount of junk and the composition of the junk
to make a difference.
To have some effect.
Sure.
And also to have players think about planning for potentials, right? Like, my strategy is to get all the junk in the goal.
Yeah.
Like, and I would like them to think, like, my strategy is to get all the junk spread out so that when I know which one's important, I'll be ready to strike. Like, that feels more satisfying an engagement rather than just, I blew all the stuff across the table.
Okay. So,
which isn't to say that version of the game wouldn't be fun for actual 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
But I think I want this to be a game for everybody, even if it's the thematic is for teenagers.
I got you.
I like, because the interesting thing about that is you could also just not use that deck.
I suppose so. You could play, like, you know, the Final Destination version.
So maybe this is a deck, let's say, again, 52 cards, and you deal like 4 cards to every player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can play a card at the beginning of your turn onto the active rule deck.
Yes. What's in effect now?
That will be an additional modifier on top of the base rules. And then someone else can override that by playing a card from their deck over that.
Yes.
And that replaces your addition.
Ooh. Okay. That is fantastic. That's a great expression of kind of what I was thinking, whereas I had no idea how to actually play it out. So I like that a lot. I think a fun thing of that is that there are no slots to put anything on. You need to play a rule card, and then that becomes a stack. And so you can so eventually the game could have 15 rules if you have one of the rule cards to play to start a new stack.
Okay, sorry, explain that.
But then you can always overrule, like you're describing.
Can you explain that again?
Okay, so
it was Ellen's idea before my little addition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
sure.
It's all of our games. Nice Games Club. So the idea putting in a little bit more strategy is you got a deck of cards, and all of those cards have like one modifier rule written on them.
Okay.
And then you shuffle them up at the beginning of the game. At the beginning of the game, you deal a number of those rule cards face down to all the players.
Oh.
And then you can look at what you have and decide which ones you want to play at certain times. Yeah. Or you're like, oh, this will be good for this kind of situation. Let's see if that arises. You might play a game where none of them ever make sense. And you might play a game where you're like, oh, shoot, one turn ago, I would have been able to use this and it would have helped. You know, but like.
And it works great in two ways. It works great in, I'm going to play a rule that advantages me in the current state of the board, or I'm going to play a rule that I'm going to take advantage on the next turn. So no matter how you do it, there's still. Still, there are motivations to do it. Either I'm going to play this because I want to this going forward.
Right.
I'm going to play this because things have worked out in its favor.
Right. So you can play one card at the beginning of your turn to establish a new rule. And because this is kids and it's crazy and that's our theme, right? You just play that. You put it out there in the world.
Yeah. No debate. No one rolls to see whose rule is in effect.
Right. Right.
Just get to decide.
You get to decide.
When do you do it?
At the beginning of your turn.
At the beginning of your turn.
Before you go, because I think that gives
before
a lot of
agency.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Yes. Before you go. So you play your deck, you play your card, and then you take your turn. And then it's the next player's turn. And they can, if they want to play a rule card, they can play it in their own pile, or they can play it on top of yours and replace the rule that you have active.
Yeah.
So, and that so you can have up to 4 decks, like cards out. I guess that might be different than what you were thinking, Mark.
So, no, I like everything about it, but how many rules are in effect and how those stacks work, that's where my idea on top of it comes in.
Yeah,
which is that at the beginning of the game, there's one place for you to put a rule card, and everyone has to share that stack. So if you want a new rule, you got to replace the old rule. Unless you have a special card in your hand, which is the start of a new stack.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have one, there are rarer cards.
Yep.
You can play that. And maybe you can play a rule on top of it or not. I don't know. We don't have to worry about that yet because it might not be votemating.
Yeah.
But you can play that. And then now there are 2 rules in effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, you can always replace them. And maybe there is a rock, paper, scissors component. Some rules can replace others and some can't. And so like there's a symbol on the card that only this one can go into something that could be interesting or complicated. But for now, just any rule can replace any rule. And you can have a new stack if you have one of those cards that can start a new stack. And essentially, so as many as those that are in the deck is how many rules that can be. And maybe that's 20. You know?
Yeah.
But also strategically, you may not be that interested in having more rules, and you might want to do it just to be a chaos agent.
Yeah.
There's not really And it's all self-balancing because it's all whatever. No rule. It's always contextual what it advantages.
Right.
So there's almost no way to break that as a mechanic. We can try.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. So like within the deck, there are all these single arm rules. And then there are also a small selection of rule cards that say like start a new pile and then this rule. Yeah. You may start a new pile. And then here's a rule that goes into effect.
And all of the rules of the game are in this deck. So when the game starts, there are no rules. Nothing scores a point. Nobody can blow anything. Like, all the cards are like, every player gets this many puffs. Or the rule is, this scores a point. Or
of that.
If you get a blue one, the player you scored against gets an extra turn. You know, like, all like tons of different things. But it all starts from nothing.
Nothing might be hard. Or
well, you all have,
well, because
you
the,
all have
the first rule goes into effect right away.
Yeah, you can play cards.
Yeah, but
do you have to play a card?
But the rule one we also
that's a good question. I don't know.
Right, that's the thing.
But I would say yes, certainly on the first turn, but maybe on every turn you have to play a card.
I mean, you could. Typically, when you have like games like this where you have a bunch of cards and you don't want to reveal that information, that hidden information stuff, you don't want to reveal that information until that information becomes relevant.
So in this case, because things on the board change so frequently, there's not a lot of motivation for you to keep anything in your hand secret. I guess the rule would be it is secret, but there's not. I don't think there's a lot of strategy in what's in your hand.
Well, what I'm expecting might happen is, let's say you have a bunch of meeples on your side of on the other person's side of the board, and you plan for that, and you don't play any rule cards, but you have a card that's like meeples are worth minus 2 points or whatever, then like you would reveal it on your turn and then do your three puffs, and then that would push all of the meeples on your opponent's board, and you would benefit from that. So I'm imagining people will just like hoard their rules until they become relevant instead of just playing rules all the time.
So that would be a reason, if that's not an advisable outcome, if that's too powerful, then it could be that you have to play a rule every turn, in which case you can't hoard cards. Or can't necessarily hoard them.
I think that if there aren't any rules to the game, then it is not a game. So you can't play.
Well, there are on the first turn, the first rule comes into play, so then it is a game.
Yeah, well, no, because that rule doesn't necessarily have to be a goal.
Well, that's a matter for us to decide what's on all the cards.
Because here's the thing is like, this game is like total madness, right?
Yeah.
Really.
And so it's like, let's sit down and set up the game and now we can play total madness. But first we have to draw a card.
Well, it
kind of feels like
I kind of get what you're saying, but the thing I'm thinking is that the cards that are out on the table are all the rules in play. And so there's no, even though things change, you never need to get confused because you never need to worry about the base rules or what's in effect but not on the board.
Okay. Let's test it out.
Okay.
Let's brainstorm a few of what these rules could be.
Sure.
And then we can like put them in a spreadsheet real quick, and we can do random number generator and as you know what we're doing or something.
Yep.
And roll dice. So let's come up with 12 rules or
time for spreadsheets. Spreadsheet time. Okay. So the basic levers are like a rule is for how many puffs you get per turn.
Oh yeah, I guess that's a rule. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then a rule could also be, I'm just gonna do categories now in this spreadsheet.
Oh, got it.
I can fill
it
out a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Like what scores a point?
Yep.
So that means that negative points are realized the moment that they are accrued.
I think so.
Tally them up.
It's a scorekeeping burden, but I think it's worth it.
Because
at the end of a round, you determine what happened.
It makes sense. It gives people who aren't the ones who are poofing.
Yeah.
Puffing? Something to pay attention to.
Yeah. And so what scores a point could be type of junk, color, size, or maybe like, and it can be exclusionary or inclusionary, so it could be like only this or everything but, or so there can be lots of different combinations of those sorts of things. So that's another type of rule.
You could actually mix in like black junk is positive.
Yeah.
So then everyone's like, no.
They want to get it in their own or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. So type, color, size, how many points.
Right.
And that's positive or negative. I think I found a way to unify our disagreement on this, which is perhaps, there's two versions of this idea. One is when the game starts, you draw three cards and put them out, and that's the opening rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that my concern is still satisfied that all the rules that are in effect are always visible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
But it means that there's no one has to make a decision to begin with. It's just this is what it is. The other way to do it, now there's some problems with that because if we say like how many puffs you get and if there's nothing that says it, is there a default value and that's what I want to avoid?
All right.
So it could be instead that, and this might hurt the as many, many rules thing, it might be that there each category of rule type could be its own stack.
Yes.
And then you draw one from each of those decks to...
That's what I was thinking.
And then shuffle those decks and deal them out.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Is that
I would miss the possibility of many, many rules. And maybe there's a really rare special cards that could have a second stack for certain categories. But that might clean it up a little.
Well, no. So here's what I was thinking is cards have a front and a back.
Okay.
And the different categories of rules will look very different on the front.
Ah.
So that you can start, you know, when you put your game away... And when you start the game, they all start in their own four decks.
Right.
And then you flip them over, you shuffle each of those decks independently and draw one from each category. Mm-hmm. Or one from this category, one from this category. So you get the number and type of base rules that you need to play.
Yeah.
But then they all look the same on the back. So you mix them up together and shuffle them.
Oh,
and
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
The setup is slightly more complicated, but then we get to have our cake and eat it too.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I'm with you.
Slightly more complicated.
You know, worth it. No, good solve. I love it. And so let's say we start out with three of the three types, and then it can just go on from there.
I gotta stop being participants in conversations and also taking notes.
I'll catch up
when we play test.
It is recorded.
That's true. I can listen back.
I know we've been off for a while, but my spreadsheet didn't amount to much, I'm afraid, other than some notes. So,
How many categories do you have?
I've just got the how many puffs, what scores a point, and then the subcategories of that. Type, color, size, and how many points is scored. And then do we have, a third category?
Because okay, so,
three is a great number.
Wait a second. So we have how many puffs you get, what scores points, how many points something is worth?
How many points would be part of that, I think.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
Category.
So a third, right. So point variance. We have puff variance, point variance. It'd be really cool if we got a third P.
Yeah, I know.
This was something I wanted to bring up earlier.
Yeah.
Like, how deep in the field can you go with your little poofer?
Oh, yeah.
I would say, just for our own sake as designers, no rules at all.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get right up to it, and it could be relatively weak, you know, so you're not really going crazy.
I think it would be good to have, like, at least, like, some sort of weird end zone that you cannot put the nose of your poofer past that.
Okay.
Because otherwise,
maybe a cone of influence, like so that it's all the way to the center, but not into your opponent's territory.
Yeah, something like that.
So if nothing's near you, it doesn't feel like a total bummer.
Yeah,
that's definitely a thing we'd want to play test vigorously.
I think so.
But I think I'm coming around.
I think the zone idea is important, and the zone being related to the nozzle of the poofer, because otherwise, people with longer arms are going to have a whole court advantage.
Well, I would presume that the game wouldn't be so large that anyone, even a young child, could reach any part of the board. But you're right that, like, you know, then we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And it could, I mean, that could be attached to, by string, and it could just be that could be the limitation.
I mean, it could be magnets everywhere. Magnets on the side, magnets underneath.
Yeah.
The bottom of the poofer has a magnet. Stick it on the magnetic board and just.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
That doesn't help us come up with the third category.
No. Oh, no. The thing I was thinking of is if we did have zones in the board, then that could be the third category.
Oh, I see.
How deep in the field you can go.
Oh, interesting.
How do you do that?
We just call it zone variance and then leave it at that to figure it out later because I do like it.
Yeah.
It makes sense for this rectangular board right now. It's 2v2. If we had eight sides, then we'd have to think about it a little bit differently. Right. But
It wouldn't be, deep into the field, yes. It wouldn't be measured that way anymore. But
right.
Maybe certain lines are your... Area.
Zone and adjacent zone and something, you know
something
like that instead, but some
zone variance is the principle.
Okay. And maybe your zone has a near and a far, and then the adjacent zones also have a near and a far, and so
zone variance.
So thank you. Silent P, but it still counts.
Yep. How do we test this?
You know what a pizzone is a calzone that Pizza Hut makes. trademark problems there.
Oof. Okay. All right.
This episode zone brought to you by Pizzone. I want to make a Pizzone now. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, how do we test this?
We need to come up with a bunch of different examples of what can go in this category.
It might take a whole.
I feel like this is a point where I'm pretty comfortable stopping here.
Yeah, okay.
And this might be something maybe we tease listeners with a future version where we do some playtesting.
Yeah.
Maybe we find a time to do some playtesting, put it on Patreon.
Perhaps, cool. Yeah.
But I feel like with the tests we've done already, I think conceptually the rest of it, I feel confident it will all fit.
Yeah.
Whether it needs tweaks beyond or whether there's something that's unfun about any component, couldn't be certain.
Right.
But I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
I need to find some poofers.
Yeah. Ooh, that's the.
What are those little whistles that you go poo? You pull out the thing and a slide.
I'm sorry. Do that noise again.
Poo.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about.
A slide whistle.
Yeah.
You just turn that around. Whew.
We'll run some tests.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that'll work like you think it'll work, but it's fine.
All right.
I do love the idea that like whatever it is, it will be custom made for this product and it will look like a leaf blower.
Yeah.
Yes, have a little nozzle.
Absolutely.
And yeah, the narrower the nozzle, the actually less predictable it will be ultimately.
Yes.
Yeah. In a weird way.
In a weird way, yeah.
Which is exactly the kind of like incongruence when you use a real leaf blower.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's all cool. Right, I'm going to be on the lookout for some very tiny slide whistles to see if, like, because usually slide whistles are like, 6 inches long. That's too much. That's not a poof. That's that's a gust.
Yes.
Right. Like, right. We need a tiny,
we're not in that business.
No. Gust can be a different game.
Right. Now, of course, we've been having fun with the word poof, but like thematically, we really can't use that word in the actual game.
Yes.
Because that's not the metaphor, right?
No, we haven't.
It's a mighty wind, right? Like, his leaf thrower is supposedly.
Are we not calling it Eddie's anymore?
We are calling it Eddie's.
Okay.
We decided on that first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then
no takesie backsies.
Yeah, that's the rule. That's number one. Rule number one. This name, the game is Eddie's.
Right. So yeah, no, cause it's like a tiny slide whistle that you turn around would just be like a poop. And then that's your first one. And you pull it back out. And then you go poop.
We'll take it to the drawing board.
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Poop. Listeners, if you know where I can get tiny slide whistles,
please let us know.
Let me know on Discord.
That's a really good call out. If anyone's like, oh, just use blank.
Oh my gosh,
please get in touch.
Yeah, please visit us on Discord and just spam the chat with all the weird air poofer things that you can think of. Agreed.
Let's crowdsource the mechanics on this one.
like a whoopee cushion, but a tiny. But a
sorry,
tiny
that's
one.
Not the noise it makes.
Sorry, a tiny whoopee cushion.
Thank you.
That's our show.
You could replace it.
I got it.
It could come with leaf blowers, but you could suggest other air proofing devices.
Oh, actually, though,
for a more challenging game,
tiny whoopee cushions.
That's hilarious.
That you can buy at our web store or whatever.
And all the suggestions should be just on the wrong side of practical. Like,
yeah.
Where you might fool someone to thinking that, oh, well, they know, they must have tested this. Nope.
No. I love that. Okay.
What was that you said?
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. We're going to have to redo this because my notes are trash. visit us on social media at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and keeping an ideal journal. Reply on the various platforms or email us. Contact at nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. If you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be looking at partnering up and control flow. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice. I'm so glad we're back. So dumb and amazing. See, I was thinking about this when we were walking back from dinner. Like, one of the reasons, I think this is one of the reasons why, like, even if I'm tired, like, I love doing game development.
Yeah.
Especially with other people who are game developers, is like game developers are really good at finding fun in just these tiny little things.
Yeah.
And just like going right to it and being like, that is delightful. Look at that thing. And everyone's like, yeah, that's a dog. It's amazing. You know, or whatever. Like, and here we're going to blow stuff on a table.
Yeah. No, what's great is we're having fun, even if this turns out to not be fun.
Right.
Because then that'll just be motivation to get to that, get to the fun we had thinking about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. That's a strong motivation.
That's going to be at the end of the episode. We've just been blowing straws into the mic.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.